today on Real Radio.
See, if you're not careful about this, you guys, you're going to think by just regurgitating the verse, I'm justified by faith, that you just say it and God says, okay, and puts glitter on you and now you're cool? That's not how it works.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? You know, an overall understanding of Scripture tells us that, as Jesus himself put it, there are few who find the road to eternal life. To merely have faith is simply not good enough. Each of us needs to put his faith in the only one who's able to save and who satisfied that costly divine requirement to pay for sin. In other words, it's the right kind of faith in the right Redeemer. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs talks about now as he continues his series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven.
Mark this down. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23. How does faith affect you, and how did it affect Peter and the disciples? Matthew 14, 23 says, and when he, Jesus, had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when the evening came, he was alone there, that is on the mountain praying, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea. The disciples launched out before sunset, and they're heading toward Tiberias. And it says that they were now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, by the way, that's the last watch of the night before the sun begins to come up, which is the darkest time of the night. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out for fear. By the way, the Jews believed that just before you die, you'll see a ghost. That's why they freaked. They thought they were going to die. And you would have too if you were in one of those terrible windstorms on the Galilee. Plus, here goes... Who was that? What was that? Did you see that? It's a ghost. They're freaking out. And they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered and said to them, Lord, and I love this guy, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Man, I don't know, man, that's Peter's golden moment right there. What a great word. Would you have done that? I would not have done that. Unless those guys were just scaring you to death and you'd rather be with Jesus walking on the water than screaming with the boys in the boat. Peter's probably thinking, I'm out of here. This thing's going down. I'm going with Jesus. That's a good attitude. And Jesus, if it's you, I love that. Tell me to get out of the boat and come to you. Only Jesus would ask Peter to get out of the boat and come to him. If it's you, bid me to come. Jesus says, come. And Peter came down out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Watch this, verse 30, faith challenge. Took a lot of faith to step out of the boat, you guys. Huge faith. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was or became afraid. He took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the situation and freaked. And he began to sink and he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Shortest prayer recorded in the Bible. When you're going down, you better make it short. Can you imagine if you went further? Lord, save me. So he's right on, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, ye of little faith, why do you doubt? And when they got the boat, the wind ceased, and then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. That's an awesome faith moment. The relationship to faith is undeniable. It's so common. Maybe it's a little bit elevated and that we might call it a faith crisis. Maybe we're sick. Maybe we're on a bridge. Maybe we're on a flight. Maybe there's an issue. Maybe it's financial. And you will either gravitate to what God has promised you in the Bible and you'll exercise faith and lean on him and trust on him and call out, Jesus, if that's you, or not. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says, it is by faith you stand. Don't ever forget that, church. This is the difference. This separates the spiritual boys from the spiritual men. This separates heaven from hell. This separates the real Christian from the religious, in name only Christian. You will stand by faith. And you need to know what that means. Your eternal life is based upon that fact and that truth. When these times come upon us that you and I are in, we will choose to exercise faith. But listen, in what will we exercise our faith? Church, listen, people are exercising all kinds of faith right now. Truly, and I'm not being rude in saying this. Instead of leaning on God and crying out to God, people are trusting in the promises of friends, or trusting in Citibank, or Visa, or whatever it is. That's a dangerous thing, because it's a momentary sugar rush type of comfort that's limited. It's a very serious time. We will naturally search when the world shakes. Look, it's natural. If right now we had an earthquake, if this place began to shake, it is natural for us to reach for terra firma, you know? The problem is with an earthquake, when you, by nature, go to the thing that is instinctively strong for you. It's strong for us. The earth shakes, and what do? Whatever we grab onto, it's feeble, isn't it? It's shaking, it's moving. Have you ever seen a good earthquake in an office or in your house when the walls down the hallway move? Have you ever seen the telephone poles go like that in an earthquake? I grew up in California. We've seen all this stuff. Man, let me tell you, don't you feel small? And when you grab onto the earth, it's moving too. There's nothing to grab onto that says you're okay. Oh, but my friend, listen, there is something to grab onto. That something is someone. And he's for real. You can't see him. The faith in him, though you cannot see him, is more firm, more strong, is more dynamic. And when that time comes and you do latch onto him, you thank God, actually, that you can't see him, because what he gives you is more firm. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore Jesus says, Matthew 7, 24, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him as a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. A Malibu builder. The rains descend, the floods came, and the winds blew, Santa Ana winds, and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. There is a stability in life, my friend, listen, that is greater and stronger, and you have already gotten a hint in your own life. Even if you're not a Christian, you know that there are things that you trust in, and I want to introduce you tonight. There is a God that you can trust in. There is a God that will never let you down. There is a God in times like these that is stronger than anything you've ever known in life. And all of these material things around us are simple little encouragement notices from God for him to say, listen, you trust in your shoes or in your seatbelt or in the wings? Trust in me. You can do it. You can do this. Because when he says, look to me, to the ends of the earth and be ye saved, he'll do it. He cannot lie. He's not one of us. He can't lie. The Bible says God's not a man that he should lie. And all the women said, amen. See, I told you. There you go. But listen, seriously, as your pastor, as your temporary spiritual doctor here, the greatest thing I can do is give you lessons in faith and give you the Bible and all, because there's nothing greater. I would be a fool if I didn't do that. The Bible tells us in Psalm 121, Psalm 121, verse 2, it says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hello, that's pretty awesome. When we get hit or shook to the core, wait a minute. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. You'll either gravitate toward that or you won't. You know what's amazing? In that hospital today, I mean, obviously it's packed, and that is such a nice hospital. It's ridiculous. I told Lisa, I said, you know what? We got to come on a date here. Do you know the? You should see the view from those hospital rooms. Nice view. And the food there's good. People are nice. And you look at that whole thing, and it doesn't take long, though, for you to walk down the hallways and hear the pain that people are in. And can you imagine if you got on the intercom there, the public address on that in that hospital, and said, hey, everybody who's not feeling good, anybody who's scared, anybody who's kind of uncertain about their future, anybody who would like to get out of this place, why don't you meet me in room 201 at 8 o'clock? What do you think? You think it'd be a packed house? I think there'd be I think people there in beds with IVs plugged into them, people in wheelchairs, people in their gowns coming up. Why? They want hope. They want to be relieved of their pain and suffering. Why did they do that? Because it is faith in something that brings them hope. And somebody might say today, yeah, that's exactly right, you crazy Christians. Didn't Marx, is it Marx who said that religion is the opium of the people? Do you realize that tonight Karl Marx's theology is perfect? And he was dead wrong, but now his theology is perfect. Oh, so what is the answer? So communism is the peace for the person? Don't let religion get in the way of knowing God. Faith, listen, the truth is, faith in Christ is my sedative, crutch, wheelchair, gurney, meds, bottle, name it. What does the world run to for relief? Shoot up, snort, drop? What is it? Find out what it is and then take it out and put Christ there. All that stuff will leak and drip and fade away and run out. Not Jesus, ever. But people stand on the sidelines questioning, cursing, yelling, never finding out that what they're really searching for in the temporal things of this life, they're actually searching for what he gives. It's absolutely amazing to me. Well, what about this? That brings us to our dependence upon faith. Faith in who we are, we have a dependence upon faith, if we like it or not. Our faith as Christians is in Jesus Christ. That's what makes us authentic as Christians. A true Christian, church, listen, a true Christian will exercise faith. You guys, I'm going to be honest with you. Faith is terrifying. Real faith in God, it's terrifying. Because you know what? It's unpredictable. God always invites us to do the impossible. We were talking about doing our mission sign up tonight. Sign up. Oh, I can't do that. Why? I don't know. Exercise some faith. Put your name on the piece of paper. Show up to the prayer meeting. Nothing gets done without faith. We have a great dependence upon faith. Our faith is based upon Jesus Christ. And that's all important. More on that in a moment. But write this down if you would. Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith. Coming to God and saying, God, I believe you at your word. See, if you're not careful about this, you guys, you're going to think by just regurgitating the verse, I'm justified by faith. That you just say it, and God says, okay, puts glitter on you, and now you're cool? That's not how it works. You're justified by faith, having peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read it to you in a sense backwards. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ that you obtain faith, or I should say peace with God. How does that come about? By putting your faith in Jesus Christ. That is by saying, Jesus, I've read the scriptures, I've looked at the Bible, your word is proven to be true, I trust you, that is, I depend upon you. It is reasonable for me to do this. It's not silly. Just like I trust in people and things of this world, I put my ultimate trust in you, and I'm going to do that right now, Lord. Guess what happens? You have peace with God. You go to his house, as it were. All is well. By faith, listen to this. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is awesome. Faith is the foundation of the things that you are hoping for. You say, man, you're freaking me out. That's impossible. Faith is an invisible thing. No, it's not. In fact, did you know that in true Christian theology, faith is a virtue? That's an interesting thing to think about. Faith in Christian belief becomes so tangible and real that it's understood to be a virtue. It's not invisible. If I have real faith, then you're going to know it in my life. If I have real faith that God exists and that Jesus wants me to help the homeless, then guess what's going to happen, anybody? We're going to help the homeless. Do you really have faith? Then, as we saw tonight, we're going to do something to alleviate the plight of the orphans. We may pay, we may help, we may adopt, we may foster, but we will get involved. That's what faith does. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Oh my goodness. It's just like this. If you have a beaker of fluid and you're not sure what it is, it's crystal clear, but it could be cyanide. It could be poison. It could be water. It could be Niagara. You don't know. But if it's in a beaker, don't drink it. But you can drop a chemical agent into that water and find out by what color it changes what are the properties of that fluid in the beaker. What was invisible became visible by a test. As a Christian, you are to step out believing, trusting in the Lord. You step into the invisible. You are that, so to speak, the chemical going into the beaker. It hits the environment that you're in, and God honors that and changes or affects the moment through you, the believer. Wherever you and I go, faith is in action and lives are changing. It's awesome. You and I are change agents in this world for God. Vote for me. I'll bring change. Why did everybody vote for him? Because they want change. Check it out. You want change? I want change. I want real change I can believe in. Then stop goofing around with people and vote for Jesus Christ. That'll happen. He brings real change. Well, what about this? Our need for faith. We have a need for faith. Mark that down if you would. Faith in who we are, we have a need to exercise faith as humans. All of us. By the way, while I'm saying that, I just want to say beware of the stuff that's out there today in the television preacher world or some of the so-called best-selling Christian books when people say you just need to have more faith. Doesn't God want us to have? Of course he wants us to have faith. Dude, didn't Jesus just tell Peter he had little faith? You got to understand something. Peter's little faith got him out of the boat. Okay, I don't know if you and I have that little of faith. You mean our faith bigger? No, I think maybe our faith is so not even on the radar. Would you step out of that boat? Man, oh, ye of little faith. Well, thank you, Lord. That's awesome. I haven't stepped out of a boat lately. But people will say, you know, you just have to have more faith. But listen to the context that they're talking to you in. You can overrule the will of God by the level of faith you have. Watch out. I heard a guy, I'm not going to name his name. He said, I fly Learjet because I have the faith to have a Learjet. The same guy said, I have a Rolls Royce. No. He said, I have it on tape. No, I don't. I have 5 Rolls Royces because I have the faith. That's heresy. In fact, we should get him in his Rolls Royce, just one, just take one, drive him down to Hoag Hospital and have him clear out that whole hospital. Get everybody up and out of there right now if you got that kind of faith. I don't care about your five Rolls Royces. I want to see if you can empty a hospital. That's faith. You see, listen, that's heresy. And then somebody will say, and it's written in books, watch out, everybody, it's in some pretty famous books. You need to think this way. Put faith into faith. Put your faith in faith. That's heresy. That's straight from Satan's brain. Faith is a vehicle that takes you somewhere. Faith in faith is a fairy tale. You have to have an object by which your faith is applied to it. You have to have a seatbelt and a receiver to put the seatbelt in for you to have faith in the seatbelt. You don't have faith in faith. When you say as a Christian, I have faith in Jesus Christ, my friend, you've said it all. When somebody says, you know, you need to have more faith. No, I tell you what I really need. Yes, I'll ask God to heal me. Yes, I'll ask God for his will to be done in my life. All that's biblical. What I need is a bigger, bigger view of Jesus. That's what I need. That's an important thing. Faith, it's precious. We'll talk about that in a moment. But our need for faith is huge. We long for that. But understand this. If you have all the faith in the world in believing, you have faith that a brick is going to help you swim, it ain't going to work. Your faith is to be reasonable. And when Jesus says, trust me, come to me, I'll save you, you say, I don't know. I don't know about that. Well, just wait 3 days. I'm going to be resurrected from the dead. And then you'll believe. And you wait 3 days, and he's resurrected from the dead. Now what are you going to do with his offer? If he says, believe in me, and I'll raise you from the dead. Now what am I going to do? Am I going to exercise faith based upon reason? Or am I going to turn and grab a brick and jump into the ocean? Think. Because he rose from the dead, I now, reasonably, because he proved it, I put my faith in him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson that answers the question, how do we get from here to heaven? That's the title of this topical series that we've been bringing your way here on Real Radio. How do we get from here to heaven? We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, the fall semester is upon us, and you know we get a lot of requests this time of year for a series by Pastor Jack that takes a look at the challenges that students face as believers while in the world of academia. The series is called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Now, the big reason that a lot of folks want to have a look at this two-part presentation is because Pastor Jack deals with real-life issues in this arena from the standpoint of divine Proverbs-style wisdom. Being a Christian While Being on Campus, it's been aired right here on Real Radio, and if you've ever heard it, well, you know what I'm talking about, and you know why we get a lot of requests for it. At times, we have made it a special offer because our goal, quite frankly, is simply to equip you, if I may use that New Testament term. Well, two things regarding Pastor Jack's series, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. First, we're going to be airing this series over the next couple of weeks here on Real Radio. Make sure to catch that. Second, we're also offering it right now in a 2-DVD set for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Of course, by getting the DVD set, you'll see and hear the entire series uncut. So again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-DVD set, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Parents, if you get kids going back to school, this might be a good time for them to watch. Just ask for it by name, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.